Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 57. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with my ever trusty and faithful companion, but not like that, Ryan.
What up, what up? Glad to be here. 57, man. We're climbing.
We are climbing, in fact.
And it's just me and you tonight. Me and you, your mama and your cousin, too. That's a classic.
If you say so.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
So we had a couple tournaments this week. Not many, actually. Not as many as we were supposed to, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. There's some discussion we'll have on that for sure. I got my opinion.
Well, I know what actually happened, but I still have my own opinion about it too, because, you know, it is what it is. So over in Paris, they were slinging Legacy, I believe.
Yes. And, I gotta say, man, I actually got to watch some of this coverage. The European coverage team is like miles ahead of ours.
Oh, dude, they're so fucking good. It's unreal.
I learned way more watching this than I have about Legacy in a really long time. They did some great stuff on the side, like I don't know, they have some interesting deck techs, and my favorite player, Paulo Vitor, back in the top eight. So you want to go over that top eight, or you want me to hit it up?
No, I'll hit it up. The one thing I will say is you could tell it was a Legacy GP, though, because on Twitter, I don't know if your Twitter was full of them, but mine sure was, all of a sudden, all these people complaining about Legacy. And it's like, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, you people don't care.
I think a lot of people were bitching that, what I saw at least, was that people were bitching like, hey, there's a Pro Tour in 2 weeks. Why the fuck isn't this a modern GP? And they were saying how a lot of the pros, I guess, were like, you know, this is bullshit. We're supposed to prep for, you know, for a Legacy GP and then, you know, a perfect time that we should be able to test modern and whatever 2 weeks before the Pro Tour. I think that.
Well, they stated early on that they wasn't going to do that, that they wanted to give people time to, brew and make interesting things and not ruin their Pro Tour by having a GP the week before and, you know, having back-to-back same decks.
I get that, but it seemed like from the player perspective, they were like, hey, the ban list just happened. There's people wanting to test new shit. Like, why are we playing Legacy right now at a GP? It's Europe and they love their Legacy. I don't really know shit about Legacy, but I had more fun, you know, watching the coverage of this than I probably would have watching modern coverage. I mean, that's just the truth of it. So
yeah, I actually did not get to see much of this, because life. Yeah. So we have, finishing the Swiss rounds, we have, Luik Lebrun. And he went up against the number 8 seed, Paulo Vitor Dama da Rosa.
Yeah, great matchup, man. That was a good fucking match. Go back and watch that on coverage, bro.
So, Luik Lebrun wins that 2-1, while Jose Manuel Fernandez Castillo goes up against Javier Dominguez, and Dominguez wins that 2-1. Maxime Giles versus Stefan Boucher. And Maxime Giles wins 2-0, and Jean-Marie Accott versus Philip Schunaga.
He's a pro player, I'm pretty sure. There's quite a few big names in this top eight.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time, though, pronouncing these names. So there's, like, for the normal American English language, there's all kinds of, like, marks above letters that I'm not used to seeing. Yeah. Philip Schunaga. Versus Maxime Giles, and Maxime Giles wins at 2-1. Javier Dominguez versus over Luik Lebrun, and Javier Dominguez wins it all 2-1. So Ryan, what were these fools slinging?
Well, Javier was running some sort of bug build. Yeah, I believe he was on bug. Top A. Do you want to start at the top here?
Do I want to start at the top here? What do you mean? Do I want to start?
Well, they don't.
Well, they always fuck this up. It's a shame. Well, we have Maxime Giles, and he is running countertop.
Yeah.
Countertop, but look, there's three counterbalance. There's four senses dividing top.
This is miracles, though.
That's countertop.
They were calling it miracles, and miracles was fucking everywhere. I'm surprised it hasn't made a showing like this at some of the American events, but the French guys that they had on camera were all like, even when they asked Raph Levy the best deck in Legacy, they all were like miracles. I don't know. We don't see it as much here.
Well, I mean, they're calling it, well, I guess they do have three entreats and three, the three terminus is a little different, but no, this is your basic countertop. I mean, it's what countertop has become. It's not old school countertop. It's countertop miracles type deal, but I still call it countertop because the premise of the deck is basically you use your, Sensi's Divining Top slash counterbalance slash brainstorms to set up counter after counter after counter until you can set up the huge entreat to end the game. And that's kind of the way countertop worked before, is you just, you know, you use that combo to stave off your opponent until it was like, okay, now I win.
Basically.
Yeah, so it's still countertop, it's just they added miracles to it. Okay, so that's Maxime Giles and Stefan Boucher. Let's see, we have a Dark Confidant, and this looks like blue, white, green. What is that? Bug Delver. Ha ha! Nope, that'd be black, blue, green. This is Wugadelver. That's interesting.
Hey, it worked.
Wait. I'm a moron. This is Esper.
Esper. Should I hit all his lands? He's got a pretty diverse land base here. He just won Creeping Tar Pit. The rest is all your legacy staples as far as Esper goes.
Yeah, this is actually fairly straightforward for Esper in Legacy. They have.
Yeah, I was surprised.
The Creeping Tar Pits.
Is it just me or is Dark Confidant something that we don't see here very much in Legacy?
I don't know. It's in this list.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
16 creatures. That seems a bit high for Legacy, but 3 Dark Covenants, 4 Death Rites, 3 Snaps, 3 Stoneforge, 2 True Names, and 1 Vendilion Click seems good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little high for Legacy, but for this deck, not as much. I mean, he's kind of cut back on it. His interesting thing is the fact that he has an Entreat the Angels in this deck.
Well, one of, yeah.
It's like, huh, what? Why would you? Okay. So, I mean, he's definitely trying to go over the top with the creatures. But, yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, I got a Batterskull, oh, I got a Jitte, and I have my Stoneforges, because, you know, why not? I mean, this has basically been the best deck for a while, but the Entreat is definitely different. I don't remember seeing that in any other lists at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. See, anything else that's worth bringing up in this deck? No. So we have Jose Manuel Fernandez Castillo.
Yeah, and he's on Bug Delver, too.
He's on Bug Delver. I mean, he's got the Deathrite Shamans. He's got the Goys. He's got the True Names. And, yeah, it's very, very straightforward on that deck. Louis Galabrand.
I do like his one dismember in the spell.
Yeah, that is true. For that to be main board, that is a little different.
I got to say, I mean, but it's not, I wonder how good that really was. I mean, it could hit a Goy for a Delver. I don't know, man, in those show-and-tell matchups.
It's terrible in show-and-tell playing against them. I mean, to hedge is a one-of. I mean, really, what else would he jam in there, 4th True Name?
Yeah, I mean, I would like that better. I mean, show-and-tell made a big appearance this weekend. I don't know, it's the next deck.
I would like to see some equipment, actually, over that.
That's fair,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like a Batterskull or a Jitte. Call me crazy, but those seem to work really well.
Yeah.
So we have Louis Labran, and he's, you know, he's got his show and tells all packed up. He's got his reanimates all packed up, and he has an Ashen Rider, an Elish Norn, 4 Gristlebrand, and an Iona. Do I really need to explain any more than this? Yeah. It's just, hey, do you listen to any of our other shows? And you've heard us talk about this deck.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. So
yeah. Javier Dominguez, he's running Bug as well. I mean, Bug had a good weekend. Holy balls, Bug had a good weekend.
Yeah.
I like the Null Rod in the sideboard. I don't think I've seen that in the other Bug list yet.
Yeah. The next deck we've gone over a couple times recently, Jean-Marie Acart on Painter Stone or whatever it is, Painter Servant.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I don't really.
Jaya, that's a little different for this deck. Let's see, 4 Imperial Recruiters, that's normal. 3 Goblin Welders, that's normal. Yeah. Jaya seems like it's a little different. I mean, it's not completely different, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got his, grindstone going on. Yeah, this is Painter Servant.
Yeah.
We talk about that actually quite often.
Yeah, it seems
Holy
like.
Holy shit, he has Koth of the Hammer in his sideboard. What the high hell is going on?
I actually saw that come in.
That is really different there.
I think he brought it in against Bug. I don't know, it seemed all right.
Oh, Macron Divinity.
So, I mean, seemed good.
I mean, I'm trying to think. against Bug, you're bringing that in. That's a heavy creature deck, so the chances of picking that up the ultimate are probably not good. You do get a 4/4 each turn, and, you know, you don't really need a lot of lands in this deck.
I could be wrong. I'm actually thinking I saw it against Miracles.
That makes a lot more sense if you can get this to stick against the countertop.
Yeah, because it was, I think the guy was playing countertop, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, you get a Blood Moon down, and then you follow that with a Koth. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. It gets secondary win con kind of against them.
Yeah. I like this next list. I could be missed this. He went 9-0, Philip Schoeniger, day one with it. I want to say he might have been one. There was one person undefeated going into top eight. He had like one intentional draw or something, but otherwise, yeah, it was unbeaten. I think it might have been Schoeniger. I know he did finish day one, 9-0. And Snapcaster Mage making an appearance.
Yeah. Another countertop deck. The funny thing is, like, we keep saying, oh, countertops here, countertops here, countertops here. This is a very difficult deck to play. Yeah. It's one of those things that if I were to hand you this and say, go play and not explain anything to you about how the deck works, you'd look at counterbalance and immediately rip them out of your deck. It's just the honest to God truth. I've seen it before, you know, like, oh, what's this do? This does nothing, and they don't, you know. So it's the fact that that so many people did top eight with this is really impressive. Like, they must have really been on their game.
I mean, it shows, I mean, they're serious about their legacy in Europe. I mean, I would not be surprised if we were the ones doing it wrong. I mean, they play more legacy than us, and everyone was saying this is the best deck in the format as far as the Euros are concerned, so.
I can't disagree with it. Like, if you play it well, this deck is, it's grindy, but it's hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of ways. I think, I don't know of in our top eight, but I know someone was playing it and I think they boarded into the Rest in Peace, Helm of Obedience combo. I mean, there was just different, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win with. I don't know. It seems, like you said, really difficult to play. It's not something I would pick up without a lot of legacy experience. I don't know. And you see, you only, whenever you see this deck, you only do see it being piloted by good players, i.e. like Alexander Hain, Paolo. What?
Huh? Did you just say that? Oh my God.
I hate the guy, but dude, Hain's fucking good, man. I'll give
he's
him.
He's on it, man. He's playing top tier right now.
It's I mean, 3 GP wins in 6 months is, that's a pretty good lifetime Magic career. I mean, you could be happy ending Magic saying that he's got a Pro Tour win. I don't like the dude personally, but yeah, that's the kind of list you see Alexander Hain, someone like that playing.
Yeah. Paolo decided he was going to pilot this too. And I'm looking at his sideboard and one thing is really jumping out at me. What is that? Sabo's Web. Yes. Yeah. When it comes into play, you draw a card. It costs two. Lands with an activated ability that doesn't produce mana don't untap during their controller's untap steps.
Well, I mean, lands has been a big deck the last few weeks.
It has been, but, I mean, it's... If they get down to 20-20, what's the web doing for you? You know what I mean? It's actually really good against, of all things, the silly man lands. Like, we was talking about the one earlier that showed up in the deck. Why can I not think of what it is? Creeping Tar Pit showed up. Like, that's really good against that. Like, oh, you can activate your Creeping Tar Pit? Go fuck yourself, you know?
Yeah, I was sad to see PV go out the way he did to a misplay in the quarterfinals.
You know what? The fact that PV made it to a top eight, because, I mean, let's face facts. I like PV as well. I think he's an excellent player, but he has not been on his game in the last year.
No. But, I mean, we've talked about it. He's been focusing elsewhere. I mean,
he has been.
He is a bridge player, so he's been focusing there. That is, you know, a big-time thing now, I guess. So, he was probably more focused on making Brazilian's national team for that than Magic. I don't know. He showed up good, but, yeah, I wouldn't say he looked rusty, but he definitely blew himself out in the quarterfinals. I think he got rid of a Vendilion click. He saw the guy's hand and the, or whatever. And just, he misplayed it entirely. I think he hoped he could pull another out and it didn't work. I mean, the guy had like show and tell Grizzlebrand. Yeah, he should have Vendilion clicked it.
So, what the hell is going on with Philip Schoeniger's, scarf there, man?
I don't know, dude. The scarf indoors has been like, I don't know, maybe he was going with the lucky scarf thing, but whatever, man. He's trying to be hipster chic.
I mean, yeah. Like, I just don't want to play cards all day and have all that neck sweat going on, because you know there's some neck sweat going on.
Yeah, that's true. I like it. Check out PV rocking the beard there.
Yeah, PV looks pretty suave right now. I mean,
beard.
He's been hanging out in Brazil looking to get him some ladies, I think, because, I mean, he looks pretty suave. I got to give it to him, man.
PV doing it up, so.
The dumb shit we talk about. Anyway.
Overall, though, this was a fun GP to watch. I guess, you know, fuck everyone complaining that it wasn't a modern GP. You're going to see modern in 2 weeks. And
is it in 2 weeks or is it this weekend?
It might be this weekend.
Pretty sure it's this weekend.
It is this weekend. But the thing is, like, let the pros test and keep their secrets secret. You know what I mean? You're going to see plenty of new tech. I don't know. I don't think, you know, the Pro Tour would have just been a replay of this GP if this was a modern GP. So I'm glad they went with a different format.
There was a couple, like, kind of sort of rogue decks that showed up. Casper, Urstush, names are bad. Let's see if they actually put the list up here, because they probably didn't.
Is it sub at the top?
Oh, no, Casper Uster. And he called it, like, Farmville.
Oh, yeah, the 14th place guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's Life from the Loam.
This deck is fucking sweet, man.
With the Living Wish package, Explorations, which is, like, better than Explore.
Yeah.
you got his crop rotations and stuff, brainstorms. It's a blue-green shell with a little bit of white for Supreme Verdict. But basically, like, he's running the Dark Depths combo.
Yeah.
So this is another new way of working out the...
I think this is a more reliable Thespian Dark Depth combo than lands.
I kind of do, too. I mean, I really like his sideboard.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really analyzed the lands list, but this seems a lot easier to get your Dark Depths and your Thespian stage. I mean, just crop rotation is...
Right. Well, lands is kind of an all-in, like, if you have it, you have it. But the thing is with lands is you can stall forever. And I don't know that this deck quite gives you the same stall tactics that lands does. You know, like, it doesn't have the backup win con of the burn land. Oh, Christ. They gain life when you tap it.
Yeah. And this deck was, I think, on camera once, too. The Peacekeeper in the sideboard was fucking awesome.
Dude, Peacekeeper is an amazing card. Just shuts things the fuck down.
We don't see that in the States.
Yeah, we've seen it a little bit here and there. I
cannot recall ever seeing
that. Actually, about 3 weeks ago, he was talking about it.
Okay, yeah, that card was awesome. Sigarda, I don't understand in his sideboard, but I suppose if they bring in Emrakul and you bring that in, it saves you from getting annihilated.
Yeah, does do that.
Otherwise, I don't know what he's got that in his deck for. Aether Sworn Canonist. I didn't know Storm was still a thing in Legacy, so I don't understand that in the board either. But I don't know. I'm not a Legacy player, so just
okay. I'm thinking about this. Let's see, Canonist.
Just a couple things I noticed.
Yeah, ramble about something while I think about why Canonist is.
I don't know, but I like the rest of it. I like how he's got an extra Dark Depth in the board. He's got the Engineered Explosives. That's always good. The Karakas. I don't know. I would have played an extra, maybe. I know it's a legendary, but I might have gone with an extra Karakas just for that show-and-tell matchup. I don't think this deck is a very good show-and-tell matchup at all.
Well, I mean, he has Meddling Mage, so that helps.
He does have
just name.
Yeah.
I name Show and Tell. Oh, you don't have Burn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
to hear that.
Sneak Attack too. I mean, you can't name both of them. So
no, you can't. But I mean,
I don't know. He's got the fourth Thespian stage in the sideboard too. So I don't know. Maybe against lands, he's bringing in the Dark Depth and the Thespian stage. I don't know.
He's probably bringing those in against the unfair combo decks that don't even try to stop you. They're just trying to do their thing. And that's kind of his chance to go off maybe a little bit quicker with a little bit of like counter backup with his Force of Wills, brains, you know, type things. Let's see.
Yeah.
Plus you have to keep in mind, I mean, he does have the Living Wish in there. So like he has four Living Wish. So essentially he has four Canonists. He has four Dark, Living Wish, Creature Land. Yeah, he has four more Dark Depths in there. So that gives him a more reliable way of just going into his sideboard and grabbing him.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm also, this Elves deck at 16th is kind of interesting, too, with one Rurikthar in the main.
He did what now?
Yeah, he's playing a Rurikthar in Elves.
That's different.
Yeah.
I mean, it is literally just the Elves deck, and he's like, oh, I'm going to add a Rurikthar in.
Yeah, I had to, I don't know if that's a typo or what, but very weird.
In Legacy, if it sticks, it does shut down a lot of game.
Oh, for sure. You want to brainstorm? Take six.
Yeah, I mean, it shuts down a lot of game. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that's an interesting innovation there. I guess over the third Greater Hoof. I mean, do you really need three Greater Hoofs?
Well, probably not, no.
I mean, yeah.
You usually only need one to stick in.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't kill him with elite, if you don't kill him with two Crater Hoofs, your Crater Hoof's probably not going to kill him. I almost think that's, you know, that's pretty decent to shave. It looks, that's what I'm pretty sure that's what they shaved, because the elf decks I've been seeing run three.
Yeah, no, that's about right. Well, they gave us a top five cards thing here, and like, I don't know. Typically, I skip these, but once in a while, I decide to go over them. Thespian Stage came in at five, because Knight of the Reliquary in the Maverick deck, plus the Lands decks, plus the Farmville deck, it had a pretty good showing. True Name Nemesis came in at fourth because it's True Name Nemesis. Yeah. Sensi's Divining Top came in at third, which we kept talking about countertops, so, I mean, that explains that. Deathrite Shaman at two, because, you said it was the best one drop ever, but yet you're not afraid of it.
I just don't think it's fan worthy, but it'll be back. It'll be back. Actually, speaking of that card, shit, I have to, message Jeebus back tonight on Twitter. I forgot to do that. He asked, what I was dropping him for.
Okay. And he has a Delver in here, and Delver is number one, so. Yay. Congrats, Mr. Dominguez, though. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Yeah. Paris. So Mexico City was jamming some limited.
Ugh.
I can just hear the disdain in your fucking voice.
But La Ligue took it down, man. He's a beast, man. Mark La Ligue is like one of the better unknown players, I guess. So. I mean,
yeah, I mean, he has a GP final and a semi, so, I mean, yeah, that's pretty damn good, and it's all in the last couple of years, so he's definitely coming up. So we have Mark Lalique versus Derek Wuchelain. Why the hell can't they even put the seedings proper on here? Jesus fucking Christ. So Lalique wins 2-0, Emmanuel Sanchez versus Del Rio. Because I'm not even going to try that.
It's Ignacio Ibarra Del Rio.
Okay, so Del Rio wins 2-0. Miguel Anger Rodriguez.
I bet that's an angel. I bet it's angel when they cut it short.
Okay, well, I'm looking at what I'm seeing. Hugo Daniel Azaria, and Azaria wins that 2-1. Freeman versus Flores, Mario Flores, who Mario Flores, by the way, even though he's way down on this bracket, is in fact the number one seed coming into that. But Freeman wins. Freeman 2-1 over Azaria. La Liga 2-1 over Del Rio. And, well, Ryan already ruined that. League wins. So, I mean, it's worth looking over this to see what new cards are kind of making their way into it. And glancing over a lot of these lists, I don't know if you saw what I saw, but it really looks like a lot of the cards that seem to have made it are not in the creature side.
Yeah, I tell you right off the bat, Marcelino Freeman, top eight. Oh, man, this is a super quick deck with I don't necessarily like in this deck because his creatures aren't very powerful. But Fall of the Hammer is fucking ridiculous. I'm almost thinking of I'm gonna be working on green red monsters. I almost think that's playable over Mizzium Mortars because you're more than likely gonna hit for five damage to one of their creatures than four, and you could do it at instant speed.
Right, I do like Fall of the Hammer. I think that's a very good card. I don't know if it has complete standard playability. I know in limited it's fucking great. I've gotten to play with it a little bit over the last week.
I just think in the monsters deck, it's like blood.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty devastating.
I mean, you can't hit a player with it, but you're not hitting a player with Mizzium Mortars anyways. In my experience, I'm generally not casting Mizzium Mortars until the later turns anyways.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mizzium Mortars does not require you to have anything else on the board.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean,
this needs help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's just I watched it do a lot of work so far in this limited format. I mean, it's been a blowout for some people.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the same reason you don't see a lot of fight cards being played. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Darmry has a fight ability on him.
Is better than fight. I mean,
I know it is, but I mean, it comes really down to the same thing. The fact is, this card can sit in your hand because you just haven't been able to get a creature to stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of falls to the same thing. I mean, at least with, Domri does have a fight ability on him, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this may be sideboardable.
Maybe.
A green-red deck, something you could bring in against the other creature matchups. But yeah, there's probably a dead card against control in a lot of cases.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple new cards that showed up that seemed to do okay. Sphinx Disciple was ho hum. I still think a 2/2 for 5
not
flying
good.
Is just not good enough. I mean, because it has that evasion feature, it does get to swing in a little bit more unmolested. And if you draw two cards off of it, then it's worth the 5 mana. But if you don't draw two cards off of it,
yeah, there's already much better flyers in this format. Prescient Chimera being one that he has. It's a 5-drop. There's the new one from Born of the Gods with a tribute.
Yeah,
it's either like a 4/4 or 5/5, something like that. If you don't pay tribute, you gain control of one of their dudes or something. I think that's much better. He probably just didn't come his way. I don't know.
Did you notice, Ferris Band Tromper made one of these, main decks? And I don't know if you've gotten to play with this card, but if you play in green and you can get a Ferris Band Tromper, you take it. That's the, 3/3 for 4 with Inspired. And when he becomes untapped, he gets a +1/+1 counter. That thing is ridiculous, man.
That is really good.
I had no clue how good that was. I'm like, a 3/3 for 4, that's a little high. You know, I'm playing 3/3s on 2 and 3. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, that untap ability just—he gets out of hand in a hurry.
He's really good with the ordeals. Which, yeah, in general, the ordeals are—I think they were good in Theros. They're really good right now.
Yeah,
he's one of those cards. I like that he was able to get as much. He got Epiphany Storm. That seems good. That's pretty good for limited. I don't know.
Is it? See, I don't know. I've drafted it a couple times, and I don't like, this is my personal opinion, so maybe I'm losing my fucking mind on this, but I do not like the abilities to say discard before you draw. You know, like, I like it the other way around.
That's fair, but you draw at the beginning of your turn, and it's a land, you go ahead and discard it to this and draw a card.
Fair. I mean, it just kind of depends on, I guess, Gabe State situation.
Yeah. I mean,
he's running a main board Boulder Fall. He's running a main board archetype of Endurance. I mean, he's one of those costs 8 fucking mana.
Pretty ridiculous.
I mean, so he's not, you don't get to pitch too many lands when your curve stops at 8 and you have 2 that stop there. And is it only 2? I mean, I want to check. Yeah, it's only 2 because Wild Ravager stops at 6.
Yeah.
That's just nuts. Sanchez's deck here, he was going with the black blue, which I think has only gotten better, and I already thought it was one of the better decks. He's got the Asphyxiate in there, and have you played against this Servant of Timuret yet?
The Servant of Timuret. No, this one
is Generator.
Those are always, I'm always a fan of those cards, like the skeletons that regenerate and shit in limited.
Yeah, I enjoy it too, but
really annoying, like just to shut down someone's bomb repeatedly.
You can die to this card single-handedly because when he untaps, he, drains you for 1 life. And he gains life equal to that.
Yep.
So every time he uses the regeneration ability and he actually has to use it, regenerating causes it to tap.
Yeah.
And dude, I mean, I played a lot against this in the last week. I mean, it seems to be a favorite to a lot of people. It's a good 3-drop in a black blue control deck. I mean, that's undeniable. And it just, I mean, I've lost games to this card. It's like, fuck, there's just nothing I can do here.
Yeah, pretty good. I like, he's got 2 Read the Bones and 1 Divination. Very good.
Yes, he wants to draw cards.
Very good. Sea God's Revenge.
Yes, he wants.
Fan of Sorcery, but it does go out on it. Good. That card is good. He's got the Voyages in. And I thought Asphyxiate would be that good.
Asphyxiate's good, dude.
Yeah.
That card is really good. Two-way to the Underworld, that's worth noting. Target creature gets -3/-2 enchantment. Pretty good. Pretty good. So let's see what our winner was playing here. Blue-red, splashing a little bit of green, maybe? No. You know, he was just using them for the Skylands. Okay. I fully understand that. He's got the Steam Augury deck.
Yeah, he did get a Steam Augury and a Fall of the Hammer again.
Yes, Fall of the Hammer, 2 Lightning Strike. Oh, my, Retraction Helix, Searing Blood, Voyage's End. He's just killing everything or sending it back to your hand. He's not fucking around. Floodtide Serpent, good card.
And his creatures, 2 Crackling Triton, 1 Fanatic Amogus, 1 Floodtide Serpent, 1 Horizon Scholar, 2 Ill-Tempered Cyclops, 1 Kraken of the Straits. That's a bomb. 1 Nimbus Naiad, 1 Omen Speaker, 1 Pillar of War. That's interesting to see him running that. The Pillar of War, I actually, he doesn't really have creature enchantments that he could put. He has
Spearpoint Oread. He has Nimbus Naiad.
Yeah, but Spearpoint's a 6 to bestow, and
it is. But I'm just trying to figure out why this is.
All his dudes are pretty big and beefy, though. I think
it could just be his early game blocker.
Yeah, I really think he uses this Voyage End and Searing Blood to get. Once this guy hits turn 4, it's on. Turn 4 and up, like, he's just dropping beast after beast.
Yeah, once he plays Steve Augury, it's like choose your death.
Yeah, I mean, Sealock Monster is. It can kind of be a whiff, but I don't know. It still plays good defense.
Dude, when that thing, it can kind of be a whiff, but it's a 5/5 that plays great defense, and it typically gets the monstrous ability.
Yeah. And it actually, I've noticed, a lot of people seem to like that card that returns everything but Octopus and Krakens and stuff back to your hand.
Yeah.
He might have seen that card and hedged against it. I don't know.
It's fairly possible. It's a fair build. It doesn't look like outstanding or anything. Like sometimes I look at these lists and I'm like, oh my god, that thing's a work of fucking art. And I'm not seeing that here, but it definitely has a theme to it.
Yeah, I mean, get to turn 5 and play a fatty seems good. So
I mean, like Mario Flores's deck looks to me a lot better. Like his deck looks stupid. It got the green black going on. You know, he's like, oh, see, I got a Baleful Eidolon. Yeah, I got an Eater of Hope. That seems good. I got Hythonia. She's always good. Miscutter Hydra, so if you are playing blue, I'll get through. Mogus Marauder, because, you know, why not? 2 of the Nyxborn Eidolons, which is actually pretty good, believe it or not. 2/1 for 5 is actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
He has a Tromper. He got a Sedge Scorpion, Tormented Hero. He's got a little bit of ramp with his Voyaging Satyr. You know, I mean, it's a fine deck. I like this deck actually better than the one that won, but you know.
I do. I think that if you're like me and you don't know much about limited or whatever, I think you should force green black all day long in this format.
See, I've gotten away from that.
Black blue, but I think green black's just easier to piece together.
Honestly, if you want to force something in this format, if you haven't played very much, White Red Heroic is the way to go.
Yeah, I just, every time I've done that with Theros Limited, I've gotten, once those green decks get, if you don't kill them right around turn 5/6, I don't know, or even turn 4 when they start dropping Nessie and Apps, I think Red White Heroic is decent. If you gotta get a real nutty hand to beat some of these mid-range type strategies.
I just gotta make sure you run your creature fog basics.
I really think that black green shits on that list. I think that Red White Heroic is a much better matchup against the blue black, because in the blue black deck people are doing their smaller flyers. And then the black for removal and stuff seems to be the thing. So, I think though against the black green list, it's got no hope.
Well, black blue typically with that, I mean, when I build it at least, I'm using my blue mainly for my, bounce and my tempo. And then I use my black because there's a lot of 1/3s and there's a lot of 2/4s and 2/5s. And things like that in there where it's like, this is what's clogging the ground. And then this is, you know, my, if there's something that falls I can't deal with, I'll bounce this or I'll bounce that. And then you usually have like one big black bomb.
Well, right? And there's several in the set. I mean, this guy, Flores, has not only does he have Hythonia the Cruel, but he's got the Fear of Hope, which I'm iffy on, but it is a 6-4 flyer, and that's fucking huge and limited. And there's also, I don't see it in any of these lists, but they have the Keepsake Gorgon. I don't know, there's several big, black, scary creatures in this format, so.
Yes, there is. Del Rio's, he's got the White-Red Heroic. See, 16 lands, where's he top out at? He tops out at like 4. See, I don't understand this. He tops out actually at 5 because of 2 Rage of Purphoros. He doesn't have a lot of things to attach to it. That's actually this deck's problem. And he doesn't have any of my favorite flyers. So yeah, okay, that deck's not as good as it should be. And then let's see, our last list, we got some green-red going on, which is exactly what you would think out of green-red. We couldn't watch this, huh?
I'm sorry. I'm still looking through this heroic list. I just don't see, it just doesn't seem like he has enough to target his guys with.
No, he doesn't. He does not have enough to target his own guys. And then on top of that, I mean, like, you almost need a Wingsteed Rider. At least one. You're better off with, like,
that card pushes heroic over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think that's really where he fell short. He needed more ways to target his own creatures, and I think he needed one or two Wingsteed Riders, because that is the card that usually finishes games when you get to parity. Because you can make that card bigger than everything else, you know?
Yeah.
So our top 5 cards, we have Floodtide Serpent, Kiora's Follower, Nyxborn Shieldmate, Ill-Tempered Cyclops, and number 1, Fall of Zehama. Hama.
It's good and limited, I'm telling you. It's a good way to blow someone out during combat. You take out their dude that, you know, and block another dude. It's a blowout. It's a really good card in this format. So
yes, yes. And yes,
I would definitely,
I don't know if I've told you this, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, red got some decent love. This red seems much more draftable since they've added Born of the Gods. I will give it that.
Yeah. It was bad in the last set. I mean, I played it a little bit, but that was mainly kind of as a companion piece. And the fact that honest to God, you can get Lightning Strike sometimes 6th, 7th pick because everyone wanted to stay out of red.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to give me Lightning Strikes, I'm going to take it. The only Pearson you really had to fight with was like the White-Red Heroic deck for certain cards. And, you know, they was looking for things like Titan Strength +3/+1.
The guy that took down draft this past Friday ran, had a couple Titan Strengths, and he had a bomb in limited, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, is that he had that archetype of aggression.
Yeah.
And then, so he's running that, Fall of the Hammer, and then Titan Strength, and like every green fatty he could get his hands on.
Sweet.
And just given those, given all those dudes trample.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's give big creatures trample. That's a good idea.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it. This format tends to devolve into convoluted board states where it's just about who can push through first. And,
welcome to limited.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching him one game and then he top decked the archetype of aggression and it was over.
Yeah. GG. Damn.
So. Very good card. I'm on its nuts a little bit. I may even give it a try in standard, but yeah, I think red is much better this set, and I think red-green, like, you liked red-green and Theros. It just got better for you.
Yeah.
As far as draft goes, so.
I mean, I'm kind of goofy, though. I've tended, at least over the past, like, 6 or 7 sets, to really, I found myself in red-green a lot. I don't know if it's something I've just kind of fallen into. A lot of it comes down to the fact that I don't like fighting with people over specific archetypes, and that seems to be the one that's been open to me recently. Like in M14 or M13 or whatever the last fucking core set was. Yeah. It's hard to remember. No one cares. But like nobody wanted the red green beast deck, and I was like, fine, I'll take it and I'll beat face with it.
The Beastmaster that put a 1/1 counter on your dude.
Advocate of the Beast, it was real easy to get that card.
Nobody drafted that. Nobody picked that up. That tabled all the time.
Same with Marauding Maulhorn. The, five-something that had to attack every turn. Okay, it's a beast.
5-3, I think. Yeah, 5-3 or something. But that is huge.
Dude, it was either a removal spell or it was something they just wasn't going to be able to deal with because I already have the Advocate on board. Yep. You know, so it was just like, I don't know why people were so down on this deck. I think it was everyone kind of got crazy about the opportunities. But I actually, since about Immerwolf, I found myself really falling into the red green and I mean, I'm glad that it's gotten better for me, but it might actually push more people into it, which will make it harder for me to draft it.
Yeah. Red is really wide open. Red, it gives, when it's going around the table, the people that want the low cost removal, magma jets and stuff, they're going to take those, but it still leaves you with some of those, you know, what's the 5-drop burn spell?
Rage of Perforation.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of the later stuff will stay around, and it just depends on how you want to build your deck. If you could get earlier removal in another color, you're able to balance that red. I don't know. And green just has so many fatties to choose from that you're pretty much safe. Like, that's what I was saying. If you're newer to drafting or whatever, I recommend trying to force the black green, just because green, you're not going to, I don't see.
Green's deep in this set. You can, even if you have three other drafters at the table who are drafting green, you can still get very good green cards that are all playable. So, I mean, I can't argue that. I don't think it's the best deck in the format. I really don't. Black blue is probably the best. When it comes together right, dude, it's fucking unbeatable.
The tempo is really good. Even if it is running just a bunch of smaller blue flyers or the Blood Toll Harpy, you know, little dudes like Vaporkin.
It's that Shipwreck Singer or whatever it is, the 2/1 that you can neg attacking creatures. That thing's fucking stupid.
That card is so nuts. Dude, you should sit down and cross multiples from it.
I have.
Yeah.
Trust me, I have. I've sat down across from like three of them and it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? Like, my Nessie and Asp is useless.
No, it's, Shipwreck Singer's nuts. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you could get the tempo, blue-black is definitely the way to go, but I just think there's so much competition
for it. Yeah, you're fighting for that. That's why I don't even go into it, because you end up fighting for it.
Yeah, you just can't reliably get enough Voyages Ends.
Yeah, you can't even reliably get more than one Gary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the chances of you getting two or three Garys is like, even though it's a common, is fucking damn near impossible. And yeah, I understand why, but when you got that many people at the table, it really dilutes the power of the card when you have three people trying to draft that card. So,
yeah.
In New Jersey, dude, SCG was like, let's go play Magic. And then like 2 days before it, they was like, fuck this. We're staying home because it's fucking snowing, and you know, they're just firing cities now, dude.
Wait, what, you made a hotel reservation, you paid for your hotel room already? Well, fuck you.
Yeah, really, you know. Well, you know, SCG has been on this firing everything kick, and since they fired this person and that person, they're like, we can't fire any more people because we'll be out of people. Let's fire a whole fucking state. They fired New Jersey.
Man, what is going on over there? Are they just trying to get... Are they just going to dwindle down to a premium side of riders and sell cards? Like, I don't...
Dude, if their tournaments leave this, they will die because their prices are too high. So
I know they'll have the tournaments still. I mean, the Open Series. I just wonder if they officially now just don't give a shit about anything else but the Open Series and selling
cards. Brad Nelson.
I mean, they didn't want, you know, all the creative content that, like, Ruben Bresler gave us with the newsening and interviewsening and stuff. They just cutting all that out, man. It seems like they're just going serious with it.
I don't know. I mean, it's – when they first made their first move to this, where they said, you know what, we're not going to hire people every weekend to do these tournaments. We're going to hire a staff.
And I like that.
That's a good idea.
I like how they trimmed. They said, hey, this is our coverage team, not 50. What was like the last year? So it could be one of 20 people.
Yeah. I mean, it was getting ridiculous. I like the idea. I didn't agree with their choices.
No,
100%.
Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know how the fuck he's still there. How he's not gotten fired. He must work for fucking peanuts.
He must suck good dick. I don't know, dude. When everybody complains about somebody, why don't they do something about it? I've heard one person say something positive about the dude, and that was Jeremy Schofield on Imps Prison the other week. And all he said was the dude's a nice guy. He didn't say anything about him. I don't think he's been like a great commentator.
We even brought that up on that.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is just... I don't know. Did they fire Glenn Jones?
You know what? It's a running total right now, so I don't know who's been fired and who hasn't. It seems like everybody's getting fucking fired.
Glenn, if you're still there, fucking listen to the people, man. Do you not read the chat room on the side of the video when that dude's commentating? Like, holy
shit. You know what? I like his hats.
Dude, I don't know if people are meaner when he's commentating or when Zach Hill is doing Pro Tour coverage. I don't know what drives people more insane.
Yeah, you know, it's really a shame because Zach Hill.
Yeah, I don't like the guy, but.
No, he shouldn't be a commentator.
No.
Like, I mean, you can use him in a very productive role where it's like, we're gonna use him to, you know, go over flavor in between rounds. You know what I mean? And because he helped build the last so many sets.
Yeah.
Like, and well, is Oscar that role excellently, but he does not fit into the role of trying to explain what's going on in a convoluted board state because, as we all know, the R&D and the people who actually make the game in future league, they get everything wrong.
Yeah, I thought he was decent, as awkward as he is with other people. I thought he asked some decent questions when he did deck techs and stuff. I actually liked his deck techs better than Brian David Marshall's, who just kind of, here's the cards you're playing. He kind of went more into,
why are you playing this?
Why this over this? Or, hey, we just designed this card with this archetype in mind. Why aren't you running it? Or, you know, is that why you're running it? Or, I mean, just, he could bring the research and development ideas and questions to the player and like kind of relate the two and stuff. Like the player would say something, he'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, what we intended in R&D. And, you know, that's exactly, you know, we're glad this happened. Yeah, I don't know. It's just his deck techs were all right. Like,
yeah, his color side, like, you know, his in between round stuff. I mean, I've gone back, I've watched quite a bit of it, you know, we sit and watch a lot of these tournaments, let's face facts, and I always thought he was great when he was doing that, like, I found myself engaged in it, I really enjoyed it, but as soon as you put him on the mic and he's trying to explain the game on the fly, he really falls short, and it's really a shame that Wizards didn't pick up on that immediately and go, you know what? You're going to be our in-between round guy, and, you know, we'll keep Marshall and X up here to explain what's going on in the games.
I can't imagine. Well, I don't even think Marshall's that good at describing Standard.
He's getting better at it. I mean, I agree with you, but he is getting better at it.
Give us Stark. Give us LSV.
Those guys are going to play in a lot of them, though. And to be honest, Ben Stark's not that great at explaining Standard either. No, Limited? Oh, my God.
Pro Tour. They draft every Pro Tour, and he's the best in the world.
Right, which at a Pro Tour he's playing in it. I mean, I'm thinking like GP coverage, you know what I mean? And yeah, you might be able to get Ben Stark, you know, on day three or day two of a Pro Tour. You might be able to get LSV day two or day three of a Pro Tour, but to actually get them to just say, you know what, we're not going to play in this tournament because the amount of money Wizards would have to put up to make it financially you know the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, do viable.
Viable for them to do it because, you know, they are good enough where they can legitimately walk in and say, well, I'm walking out of here more than likely with $1,000. You know, for Wizards to say, yeah, we'll just pay you that $1,000 to come in and we'll get you a hotel room, we'll pay you $1,000 and you can go ahead and do coverage for us. It just doesn't seem like something that they
they're already fit the paying bill Nibbler on. That just to show up and play.
Yeah, to leave.
Yeah, they're already giving people, a lot of these guys are already getting, you know, collecting money just for showing up. They could just show up and leave, like, you know, like Kibler did an event recently and still get paid an appearance fee, like,
I honestly think that's one of the things with the Hall of Fame that they really do need to change is, yeah, you know, once you're in the Hall of Fame, you show up, you get an appearance fee, like, you earn that, you legitimately did. But you shouldn't be able to show up and leave. Like, you should have to at least sit down and play X rounds.
Yeah, well, this wasn't even the Pro Tour. It was
GP, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Pro Tour, GP, if you show up to any of them and you're in the Hall of Fame, you get an appearance fee.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should probably look into that policy a little bit because it is kind of sad when people were like, oh, you know, Kibler's there. I want to watch him play. And then it's like, what? He went where? Yeah. You know, hey.
To be fair, where he went was full of hot chicks.
Oh yeah, dude, I don't blame him for doing it. I mean, he took advantage of the system. I probably would have did the exact same thing. But, you know, for Wizards' own sake, they should probably look into that policy and try and get it slightly fixed. So
off on a huge tangent from Jersey being fired to qualms about coverage. Yeah, I don't know. But going back to Jersey, I think that was kind of shady, man. 2 days before.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it's Somerset and it's a pretty traveled area. I don't think the weather would have been.
Here's where the issue was. Okay. And I love how they say, you know, for our staff and for the players coming in, this had nothing to do with the players. Okay. Because I can tell you, look, I don't live in Jersey. I live in PA, but PA, Jersey, as far as like snow removal and ice removal equipment, we have that. That's not the problem. Like the storm hit like Thursday. It would be fine by Saturday. No question.
Well, yeah, Jersey is, you know, that's mob central. Of course, they got the snow plowed.
Oh, they got all that covered. Trust me. That's not the problem.
If it involves
the problem was the fact that SCG, they're located where?
Roanoke. Yeah.
Roanoke, Virginia. They got fucking hammered. They couldn't get there. That's where the issue
was.
Yeah. I know Roanoke has some of that stuff, not as much as we have, just a little bit further north. But from what I've basically gathered talking to different people, like, that's where the problem was. They couldn't get out of town.
They just blamed it on Jersey.
Yeah, blame it on Jersey. It's fucking, it's that fat governor's fault. Yeah. He was shutting down bridges on us and shit.
Yeah, Chris Christie shut down SCG Jersey.
Yeah.
Him, man. Let's not
get him. No, but I just thought it was, you know, somewhat topical and kind of funny. So, do you like toys?
I do like toys. Well,
you like toys. Okay. Do you like, plush magic dolls or, figurines?
No, but that would be sick as hell if they made some.
Dude, they're making some. They're going to be planeswalkers, and it's sad because, like, the figurines actually look kind of nice. I actually like them. I like the plushes better. Like, I want that fucking plush of Johnny. I think it's plush. I don't know.
Yeah, these are weird looking. Are those plastic or what?
It could be plastic.
I can't tell. They look like a mix of plush and plastic.
Yeah, yeah. It says 3.7 inch vinyl. Okay. Yeah,
vinyl.
I like the Johnny. I really like the fucking Johnny, dude. And the Garrick's kind of cool. Jace's, Nissa Ravine shows up in both of these, though. Like, I didn't realize she was a sought-after planeswalker.
I don't even know who that is.
She was an elf. Shit, I'm trying to think what set. Rise of the Eldrazi.
Okay.
She stepped with Sorin. And, yeah.
I would think, who's the badass that was like the Dragon Master?
The what?
He was like a master of dragons.
Sarkon Ball.
Sarkon Ball, yeah, dude.
It's not really, but the thing is, once you got into the storyline, you found out he really wasn't a badass. He was kind of a dumb, he's kind of stupid, and he's just like, oh, you're the strong dragon, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So he's just kind of like a pawn.
Okay. He seemed like a cool character to me, and just that he could control dragons or whatever. I thought that was pretty dope, but.
Yeah, but once he found a dragon that, you know, could control him or showed the power that he couldn't control him, he just kind of became a pawn. I wouldn't have mind seeing Sarkon Ball in here. I mean, the list is as follows. Liliana, Ajani, Chandra, Jace, Garruk, and fucking Nissa Ravine?
Yeah.
It does say that these are prototypes and not final. So
all I know is the 6-inch ones look bad as hell, dude. Garrick and Ajani look sick.
Yeah, I can't argue that. Even, actually, the 6 inches, all of them look really good. Even
this is something they need to do. They need to make toys. They need to get out there and market to a wider audience. I think if I was a little kid walking down the toy aisle and I saw this next to like the Ninja Turtles and shit, and I seen Garrick, I'd be like, holy shit.
Dude, if I was a little kid and I saw that Ajani sitting next to my
Ajani,
I'm getting out of Ajani if I'm a little kid.
Who the fuck is that? Yeah, I mean, hell yeah. The Garrick,
Catman looks like he gonna kick someone's ass, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
Garrett looks pretty like Diesel, dude. Just like, he's got his pelts. Yeah, I mean, even the Jace kind of looks cool. I don't know if a little kid would pick up on that. Nyssa Ravine looks really good for the fact that, you know, she probably shouldn't even be in this list. Why isn't Tezzera there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many other planeswalkers I would have picked over Nyssa Ravine, but.
Even Eltheth.
Yeah, really, you know.
She's like the, one of the faces of this current set. I would definitely think Elspeth would get the nod here. She's one of the most popular ones of all time.
Gideon, I mean, there's just so many they could have went with. You know, why did they go with the vampire? You know what I mean? Like,
and Sword would sell because vampires are real popular with the kids and shit.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, why not go with the vampire that you know is going to sell? Instead, you go with the elf, which, you know, fine, I guess, you know, if you want to kind of market it towards little kids who are reading Lord of the Rings, none.
Yeah, if anybody getting into the game now, kid-wise, is going to have no idea who that is. You put an Elspeth in there.
They're going to have an idea, right?
Yeah, so that could be a fail right there. But cool, man. This is something I've been waiting to see. I'm hoping they keep this, you know, start doing more things like this. Start drawing in more people. Yeah, this is a great idea.
Oh, God damn it. Apparently, I put up a bad link.
MTG Conspiracy?
Yeah.
Edit point.
Oh, well, not a big deal. So MTG Conspiracy has been announced, and I pretty much know the details on this, so I'll just kind of go over them. It comes out later in the year. It appears to be a multiplayer limited format. Whether this is Cube or something else, we don't know. I don't know. It looks cool. We'll see when it comes out if they screw this up or not.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, is this gonna be like, is this like an Unglued or something?
I don't know, I mean, it's not going to be like Unglued. I think we're gonna have a closer, it's like Plane Chase.
I mean by Unglued is it seems like, at least from the cards I've seen, are they gonna have like funky, like different rules and stuff? It seemed like there was some rule that like for that affected drafting or something.
Yeah, there is the clockwork something or other, and when you draft, what you can do is you can draft him face up, wait for a pack to come around. You know how there's always that pack that you look up when you're drafting with your buddies and you go, can I just keep this, like, you know, I don't have to draft anymore, I'll just keep this pack.
Yeah.
Well, you can take your normal draft card, pick it, set it in your pile, and then you can take your clockwork that you have face up, stick that into the pack, and then take another card out of that pack. And the clockwork's like a 3/3, so he's not bad himself.
Yeah.
So,
That's pretty sweet. I mean, it seems like a big gimmick to me, but I don't know. I was not looking forward to them coming up with like an Unglued set or something, but I could see some wacky rules being fun for, you know, to do a time or two. Just some weird shit. Just make the drafts a little different, you know. Maybe they'll have a card where the packs start going a different direction or, you know, things like that could be cool.
Hey, when you're sitting around drinking with your buddies and you break this out, I think you can have a good time with it. I don't think it's going to be something that is going to be high demand at your LGS that everybody wants to go do this. But,
It's a gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably end up buying a box of them just to keep around the house for a random draft when I get a few people over.
There you go.
But I think that's probably what you want to do. You want to pick up a box or two when it first comes out, set them motherfuckers in the corner, don't open them, and then when you get some friends over and you're breaking open a bottle of fucking liquor and you got a case of beer and maybe, you know, in Ryan's case, you got some herbs to fucking get the scent of. you know, I mean, yeah, if you're just sitting around the house doing that, this is probably perfect for that. But I don't think that I'm going to want to go to an F&M and do this. I just can't see me doing it. You know, multiplayer in general, I don't have a good time when I am, when I'm being held to specific rules or times or anything by a store. Multiplayer is something that I like to play literally at my house, where I'm just trying to have a good time, because a multiplayer, it's hard to draft, or I'm sorry, not draft. It's hard to come up with a strategy where you just go, okay, I'm going to win this way in multiplayer, because, you know, player three way over there might throw a fucking monkey wrench in it. That's one of the reasons EDH is as fun as it is.
Yeah.
Because you get four players in there, and while you know you can beat deck A, deck B might be a bit of a problem. You know, so then you go after deck B, and then deck C comes in and wipes your ass out. So, you know, it's kind of one of those, Multiplayer is meant to be fun, and I think that's, you should do that at your house. You shouldn't do that at your LGS, unless, you know, it's like free play Saturday or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, did you notice, like, we have a website?
We do have a website now.
Yes, guys, please, I'm gonna ask this right now. Give me some time to get everything figured out and get everything up and running properly. I'm already having major issues with it. I have to get a hold of my fucking, my server provider because they're not letting me upload, audio.
Huh.
Even though I have all the room in the world to upload it, they put a cap or something on it and I have to actually get a hold of them. I mean, I was talking to people for days trying to figure out what the fuck was going on and why I couldn't upload audio. Or, you know, Imp's Prison with Marcel would be up right now on that website had things been right. And also, on the website, I am going to start looking for writers here. So if you have an idea where you want to write, I don't really care the format. Just if it's about magic, let me know. I mean, it won't take me long to take what you have, copy paste and put it into the website. And if you want people to see it, go ahead and I'll advertise that you wrote it and maybe you can get some views and you can leave me and go to SCG and get paid for it. Yeah.
There you go. Why not?
So yeah, there's that. Also, I do want to bring up, and this is going to sound stupid. I know it's not on the notes, Ryan. MTG Cast right now is going through massive changes. Massive changes. Like, I mean, they're hard to see when you just go to the website, but behind the scenes, there's a lot going on with the website itself. I mean, like, they've changed server hosts. They've changed quite a bit of stuff. But our show has been getting up later. I know that there's literally nothing I can do to push it forward any quicker. Short of me, you know, getting everything worked out with the website thing. So please bear with it. If it's not up on Saturday, guys, it's not my fault. I send it in every Wednesday. I've sent it in every, we record on Tuesdays. I edit it Tuesday night into Wednesday and since episode one, I've sent it in on Wednesday. Typically these things went up Thursday, Friday. Then they made these changes and things are a little bit different right now. So there's nothing I can do to speed this process along. Please don't get a hold of me and go, hey, where the fuck's the, where's the Pit Imps podcast? What the hell? I'm like, I don't fucking know. All right. Cause I don't know. I mean, you're wasting your breath by yelling at me about it. I mean, that's really the best way of putting it. So please don't stop doing that. I don't have any insight on why it's not up or anything. It's just, I put it in, meh, goes up when it goes up.
Yeah.
So, again,
to make sure people don't be contacting Chewy.
Yes, Chewy has nothing to do with it.
So, yeah, I mean, things are changing and for the better, so. You know,
in the long run, it will be for the better.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So,
I mean, right now we're going through some bumps and transition has problems. Just plain and simple. If you ever have, worked at a place where all of a sudden they hired a new general manager,
things change.
Things change. And for the first few months, things are fucked up while you're there. And you're like, why are you doing things this way? What the fuck are you doing? We've been doing it this way forever and it always worked fine. And then, you just got to learn to roll with these changes. In the long run, everything, I promise, it will be better. It's just a matter of getting to that point. So please deal with the bumps for a little bit. What have you been up to, Ryan?
Well, not much. Work and testing some new magic stuff. It was kind of Christmas today with the pre-orders coming in the mail. So after this cast, I am ready to
mail me my Kioras. Thanks.
I'm going to throw down on some brewing. Among the cards I got were, Seder Fire Dancer.
Okay.
I think I'm going to replace Young Pyromancer and my Boros list with Seder Fire Dancer because there's only 12 ways to get the Pyromancer token anyways. Seder Fire Dancer is fucking nuts.
Yeah, that card is good. I like that change.
That deck, has a ton of burn spells that I can now, I'm not very experienced with burn, so one of the things I struggle about with this deck is when I should and shouldn't go to their creature or dome with a burn spell. It can be a tougher decision than people think, and a lot of games can actually come down to where you're like, shit, I wasted a magma jet on a dude I could have sent to the dome. Like, I mean, that happens, and with Seder Fire Dancer, I don't know, kind of makes your decisions a little bit easier because when you deal the damage to the player, it just, you could go ahead and pop off the creature too.
Yeah, it smooths it out quite a bit. The one thing about like running the burn decks that I've noticed over the years, and I've gotten fair at it. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm one of these, you know, burn masters. I've gotten fair at it. And the one thing I've come to notice is it really is, you really almost every time you play a spell, you have to check the other X amount of cards that are in your hand. You have to count how many lands are on the board because, you know, you got to figure out your percentage of how many, you know, what are my odds that I'm just going to end up drawing a land, which is, you know, useless at this point. We'll say it's turn five. You know what I mean? And you got to keep track of life totals like in your head, and you got to do all this on the fly to go, does this lightning bolt kill that 1/2? That's giving me, you know, that's letting him ramp into something bigger. Or do I throw it at his face knowing that I'm putting him to 5 life and then he's 2 spells away from death? I mean, that's a tough decision sometimes.
Yeah. It's been tough, but it's more of a big Boros list. Like I'm trying to get the assembled legion and I'm running an Elspeth, couple Chandras and the 4 Stormbreast, so
yeah, that's not a burn list. You're using your burn to clear creatures, dude.
yeah, for the most part. But still, Satyr Fire Dancer will let me shore up some of those real close matches, I think. Just a 2 of. I'm just gonna run a 2 of. I'm only running 2 Pyromancers, so
that's fair.
Faded Retribution, I'm excited about maybe brewing some blue-white control, running a 1 of there. And got the Zenigod and my Courser's a Crufix finally, so probably gonna work on some green-red monsters also. So Zenigod is nuts. I think that list needs an Ilea. I might try to go with that just as a way to give the dudes trample, but either that or the archetype of aggression. So I don't know. Tonight should be fun. I got like all my pre-order stuff, so I'm ready to brew some things. Brimaz, I'm excited about. Shit, just a lot of good stuff. So pretty excited to see what I could come up with. I actually even ordered Hero of Irois. For my cat, I'm going to do something casual. So
sweet
of casual enchantments. And, I don't know. Just been playing some Magic. Actually, Tommy, you'll be proud. I went 4-1 FNM with, I'll go over it now. Black Red Master of Cruelty Control. Asking for, and I will post this afterwards. So we got 12 creatures here. Actually, you know what? Let's call this Posse Cruelty.
Okay.
I think that's a good name.
Fair.
Guys, if you run this list, it's pretty easy to get together. So aside from a few cards, so let me know, how you guys do with it. I'd be interesting. This is, I finally kicked ass with it. So, we got 4 Desecration Demons, 4 Storm Breath Dragon, 4 Master of Cruelties. So just 12 creatures. I cut the pack rats. I run 4 of them out of the board. It's only really good right now with, since, Bioblight. It's really just, I brought it in against the aggro decks. So let's see. We got 22 spells, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Heroes Downfall, 2 Dreadbore, 4 Anger of the Gods, 2 Bioblight, 2 Rakdos Key Rune, 2 Ultimate Price, 2 Devour Flesh, 2 Rakdos Return.
Okay.
The removal is very hard to, the removal package I probably need to shore up. I was happy with the 2-2 split of Downfall and Dreadbore. Maybe a 3rd Bioblight is necessary. Card's nuts.
See,
it's hard though, cause it's double black and I'm running double red with 4 Anger of the Gods.
Okay. Cause I mean, I'm just like sitting there thinking like, I can see a 3-1 split.
With Heroes.
Maybe not 4-0. Yeah. Because that instant, I mean, it just, but I'd have to look at your mana base to see exactly, you know, where that could be shored up.
So mana base is 26 lands, you know, all the shock lands and the new Temple of Malice and just mountains and swamps, my sideboard. Oh, I got 2 Mutavolts too, which I liked it, but I don't know. It was kind of underwhelming in this list. I mean, the card's great. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know. I don't know. This deck's kind of tough on mana as it is. So the sideboard, we got 2 Dark Betrayals, 3 Lifebane Zombies, 3 Duress, 4 Pack Rat, and 3 Doomblade.
Okay.
Relatively straightforward with the sideboard. Pack Rat, of course, got brought in a ton. Lifebane Zombie got brought in a ton. Green Red Monsters is a thing in my meta, so lots of people seem to like it. And the 3 Doomblades is really good in that matchup also. So I just bring those in and cut out Devour Flesh And maybe it depends if I see Planeswalkers, what I do with the Dreadboars or not. Yeah, Rakdos Return, that card is nuts.
So, yeah, that card has always been good.
that card is nuts. Nobody's fucking playing it. And the best part about casting it, it is a two of. So, I mean, you're not going to see it that often, but the looks on people's faces were priceless.
I gotta lose my what?
Nobody sees it coming. Nobody. Like
the Spanish Inquisition right now.
So it is. I don't know. I don't think I would cut that. I had a couple people comment on that at the shop. Like, ah, really? Like, I don't know. Rakdos Return is that good? No, it is that good.
Yeah, it's always that good. Do you have the mana to play it? It's that good.
Card is good. I may cut down to 18 spells and add in, the four pack rats main board up the creature count to 16.
I think that's a fair meta call. Like you said, Bile Blight really has shrunk its ability to be.
Yeah, I blew out Packrat twice with BioBlight. I, in fact, even would wait and let them discard.
Yeah, and against Attention Spheres, Packrat's not the best either. So it's, yeah, I think that's a fine meta choice. But yeah, when you play against like monsters or you play against any of the aggro decks, you absolutely, yeah, that's a fine card in that.
I just didn't know if it was kind of nombo in this list when I was testing it main board, because there was so many times where I'm like, I have an Anger Gods in hand and a Packrat in hand. And I really just want to cast the Anger of Gods before I pack rat. And I mean, not that pack rat's bad to hold on to later, but it really is like if you could slam it on turn two and you went Thoughtseize on turn one, that's really where it's like.
Oh yeah, the earlier the better.
Just out of control. So I figure with four Anger of the Gods, I didn't really need it. I could deal with this deck is pretty good at dealing with their pack rat matchup. So, yeah, and Anger of the Gods is you know, it's another card in the list. It was either really good or underwhelming.
Fair.
Like I got to play it early against a green red deck that was had a couple mana dorks and shit out, and it was obviously good there. But otherwise, they just didn't care about it. It didn't really do anything. But yeah, so that's Posse Cruelty. I won't even go into who I lost to.
Because we all know who he lost to. And she's probably sitting right next to him right now. that's great.
So, I mean...
Get him, Megan! Get him!
Packed the house, but yeah, that... okay, so she's was on the green-white. And man, do big creatures hate Banisher Priest and Selesnya Charm. It's like every time I'm like, yeah, Desecration Demon, like I won this game, like green-white doesn't beat it.
Green white's really good against it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's just she'd go threat after threat. Voice was annoying, not super annoying, but annoying. Really, just the one game I made a really bad play mistake. I can admit that. I don't even remember what it was. I just know, like, after the game when she kind of explained to me, like, hey, if you did this two turns ago, and then it's like. I don't know. I couldn't even really follow it, but I made a play mistake.
She understood. I did not. Here's an idea, and, you know, just shits and giggles. You were talking about your hammer that you wanted to add into different decks. What about adding into this? You do have a Death Touch creature in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Master of Cruelties is Death Touch, so it's like I will kill anything that doesn't have Hexproof.
Yeah, but I mean, just because I got the black, I just feel like I got that straight up removal.
Yeah, you do. I mean, can't argue that.
But the Death Touch guy is good. But yeah, I mean, ultimate price, I think is we're seeing people cut down on that. I still really like that card. If my meta gets more black white, which I think it may go, I may have to up the Devour Fleshes, but. I don't know. If anyone's got thoughts on this list, please let me know. I mean, I could tell you, I could give you more details and everything on our Facebook page of the matchups, how I sideboarded and things like that. I do think the sideboard being all like, you know, aside from Dark Betrayal is a two of, everything else is a three or four of. It was very easy to sideboard. And at F&Ms where the skill level is not so high, being able to sideboard good is all the difference. I really think this deck wins after board, a lot more than game one. I won games two and three pretty handily in most cases. So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, it sounds interesting. It sounds like you got something going on there.
Yeah, and Master of Cruelties, he's not the greatest, but man, he is good. I did get to win with him once, and it was fun. I didn't win with him. I got him to one, and then I think the next turn they killed it, and I went with a Rakdos key rune. They like Supreme Verdict, and then I had the key rune still. So if anyone's got questions, please let me know. Get on our page and shoot me any suggestions. It'd be greatly appreciated. I wanted to bring something fun and different. I think a lot of you guys want to bring something fun and different. So it is what it is. You know, I mean, a Master of Cool Tees, no one expects it. And it is really good in a lot of matchups. It stops everything. It's a much better defensive card. And I had to learn that playing this deck. I was all in on, hey, I'm going to win with it. And really it is, it's just much better sitting back on defense. I was more or less like, I would sit back on that. And if they were tapping my demon down or something, I'm really just waiting to get a storm breath dragon or, and Rakdos Key Rune is fucking awesome still. That card is still really good.
I can see that.
Yeah. I didn't think it would be that good. I was actually going to cut it going into the event. I was like, I don't know about this key rune, and because the mana is kind of iffy, it not only did it help with the mana, but it's just the 3/1 first strike is really relevant. There is still a lot of 3 toughness dudes, and yeah, I mean, I was happy with the card.
Sweet. Get up to anything else, man?
No, that's it. Just ready to brew some funky stuff. Switched up my modern deck a bit too, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, just brewing, trying to get in some magic, so I'm trying to do something besides, you know, I love mono black, but I'm trying to do something different, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you really like mono black. I'm going to be real honest, Ryan. You like winning. I know that.
I like to win.
I don't think you really care for that deck very much, because you've been trying to get away from that deck more than any deck you've played in the past, but we all know that you like to win. You are a spike. Yeah. It's like best deck running that.
I just haven't been having as fun with it, man. If anyone wants to know how to play it or has questions on mono black or ideas, like, please do shoot me, because believe me, I beat down with that deck. That's my bread and butter. Like, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm really fucking good at that deck. I just don't like playing it, man. I fucking hate Gray Merchant. I hate winning with that card. Like, sorry, Houston. I know you love Gary.
I call him Talun.
Talun. Yeah. I never played that game, so I don't know who that is, but I'll take your word that he's a bad. I don't like the car. I don't like feeling dirty after a win, so. I don't know. And it actually bringing something different, man. I got a lot more positive response than I have been bringing the same old.
Fucking bad.
I had quite a few people like, what the fuck is that? Like, most people were like, is that the black red control deck from the Pro Tour or whatever? And then I was like, well, it is more or less. It's very, very similar to that.
Master of Cruelties. Told you. Like, yes, I'm playing this shitty card.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Anger of the Gods followed with a Master is the nuts.
Is it really the nuts? I mean, you're still only going to get them to one life.
No, yeah.
You still got to do something to win the game.
That's true. And this deck doesn't have any, like, direct damage spells. So if anyone has suggestions on maybe cutting, like, the Devour Flesh for Lightning Strike, or if anyone has ideas on maybe some direct damage, because I think that definitely might help.
Okay, I don't know how viable it is in Standard. Okay, but myself, you know, limited Exciciano there or whatever you want to call it. I like to pair the card with that, what's it called? It's a 0/4 that you can tap to deal damage, and it untaps every time you play a multicolored creature. And whenever I would get, you know, a Master, I'm like, well, let's do this.
Seems good. Yeah. I also, listeners, if anyone's interested or has some ideas, I think in the next few weeks, I saw a really sweet Bog Brew, Festering New, Bubbling Cauldron, like, combo deck.
Dude, that's the Mike Flores deck.
It's fucking sweet.
Yeah, you know what? It's fucking sweet. He built that a while ago, him and Brian David Marshall.
Yeah, some dude 5-0'd with it a couple weeks back. It was like, how much did that deck cost? It's like $15.
Yeah, it's dirt fucking cheap.
Dirt cheap.
It's and not it, bad. No. The funny thing is it catches people by surprise. As soon as you're ready for that deck though, you'll beat that fucking deck every time.
It is so goofy. It just looked like a ton of fun. I saw a list on Reddit with a guy that said he spent $20 and has been having like the most fun playing standard in a long time, and he's been crushing. So there's a thread on there about that deck. Yeah, dude, just another, I've been on these different decks, you know, I want to try different stuff. So, I think in the next couple weeks, I'll probably post a Bog Brew list and let you all know how I do.
Sweet. So I've been actually playing Magic, right?
Nice, pre-release.
Yeah, dude, I got to beat a guy who had a Stormbreath Dragon and a Xenagos.
That's not even fair.
No, it's not. Like, I'm sitting there looking at the board, I'm like, there's a Xenagos, there's a Stormbreath Dragon. What the fuck? And somehow I beat the dude. So, like, I was all proud of myself. I'm tweeting it. I'm like, it makes you feel really good when you beat somebody and have these cards in their deck. And, you know, like, I mean, it's kind of fucked up. I started out 2-0. I was really doing really well in the one pre-release I did. I did not want to go blue because I knew I'd be playing blue-green or blue-black matchups all day. So I was like, I'm going to do something different.
Yeah, fuck that.
So I went green again, you know, again, like I fall into that green-red thing, right? So I cracked my first pool and it's green-black, obvious, you know, like I have 20 cards in green-black that are just good. So I'm like, okay, I can play a couple bad cards, I suppose, or I can splash this one red for that Underworld Cerberus, which I never got to play, but it's worth bringing up that that was in my pool. And it was really just like, the new, inspired guy that, you know, when he untaps, he gets the +1/+1 counter, and I just kept getting bigger than everybody else and outplaying people. It was really weird. Like the removal package that I got in my black was fucking insane. It's like, oh, I played this, you know, let me tribute it. Go ahead.
You have the multiple associates.
Yeah. Go away. I had a, Bob Blight. I had a Farika's Cure. I had, quite a good thing. I mean,
I'm so glad nice that TA is not that splashable, or it would be everywhere.
You know, it's kind of funny though, because once I got into round three, I played against this red white deck that was just like, wow, so fast. I couldn't do anything to it. And on top of that, I stumbled a little bit on that mana. So I'm like, okay, I'll take that loss. And then in the last game, another loss, it was not against green blue. It was like, I think it was white black. And I'm like, you know, I don't mind losing to these decks. I played against blue-black the first two rounds in house. You know, short of the, or no, I didn't. Because I played the green-red deck, so that was a different tournament. Oh, well, I played like three tournaments, so you have to just, you know, take this with a grain of salt. And I've been drinking tonight.
Yeah.
But
you have done sufficient pre-releases, to say the least.
Yes, I'm going to start doing some normal stuff here because, like, I'm going on like 3 hours sleep for reasons that I can't explain. So after I wake up tomorrow and actually am rested, I'm going to do like legitimate, honest sealed and see how that goes and do some drafts and see how that goes. I don't know if I'm going to do the triples. It's such a fucking gimmick. This set is not built to be, I mean, it's going to be nothing but fucking removal.
Yeah, I can't wait till, Journey Enter Nyx or whatever it is to draft. I think that'll be a decent draft format.
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, I'm saying the triple, you know, Born. I do think Born of the Gods added a lot to Theros draft. I really do.
Yeah, triple BNG just sounds fucking oppressive. Like, that just doesn't sound fun at all.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there's so much removal in this set. I mean, and I know it's real easy for me to say that, but I mean, really look back at the type of removal we've been given in limited sets. And a lot of the good removal's been at rare. I mean, this shit's at common.
Yeah, either rare or uncommon, yeah.
I mean, a lot of this good stuff is, like, at common. And you're like, fuck. I mean, between the hammer, it's just, there's so much in there. It's like, I don't know if I want to even do the triple, even to get the cards. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know. Oh, well. Yeah. But on top of that, what else am I doing? Oh, yeah, I built a website, which took longer than I expected. But, hey, guys, I'm not tech savvy, so fuck you.
Brian Tice, get at us for the commander section on this website.
Yeah, he's the one person that, like, must write.
We're not even giving him a choice.
No.
No, you're hired. Ryan.
Right. You're hired. You get paid nothing.
Nothing.
You know what you do get? Once I get an article from you, Ryan Tice, you get on this show.
There you go.
it's actually.
That's one way to motivate him.
Yeah, it's actually way past time that we get him on. The only thing is we don't ever talk about EDH.
Yeah, but I mean.
That's just bread and butter.
A week like this would have been great to maybe.
Actually, you know what? This episode went a lot longer than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, it has. I was like, oh shit, we'll be done around an hour tonight.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. I'm like, I'm looking down. I'm like, well, let's see, take 10 minutes off the time because we always bullshit before the cast.
Yeah, we went off on a tangent.
I'm pulling back the curtain. we always bullshit before the cast a good 10 minutes or so. And I'm like, shit, we're still up over like an hour already, and like I'm not even done talking yet. This is great. So you know, I did the website thing, and that's kind of cool. I've been jamming a little bit of okay. The other day, have you ever heard of Civilization?
I fucking love Civilization.
Okay, dude, I play me some Civilization like there's no fucking tomorrow. So
I'm still on 4. Are you on 5?
I play on 4 mostly. I have 5, but I like 4 better.
Yeah,
which is kind of fucked up because I still like 3 better than 4.
I can see that.
Dude, it was very intuitive when you was playing 3.
I want to say the AI was better in 3.
Well, I mean, just in general, I think the whole play style was a lot more intuitive, where in 4 they add a lot more of the rock, paper, scissors type shit to the attacking and stuff like that, so that kind of made it a little different where it's like, I can't just, you know, protect the house with, you know, 2 archers and walls. Like, now I actually have to think, fuck, I need a spearman in case a fucking horse comes my way.
Yeah, the battle mechanics kind of got up, for sure.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, well, I don't ever play this game to go God mode. Or, not, I'm sorry, not God mode. I play on Deity, actually, quite often. But I don't ever go aggro. Like, it's just not my style. I just sit back, I steal fucking technologies from other people with spies, and I hijack this and hijack that. I play the
control game. Survive more than 10 minutes playing on Deity.
Dude, I play the control game very well, and I'm very... You want that early? Dude, in the early game, you want that? Sure, here you go, buddy. You can have it. You get the writing as quick as you can. You fucking sign a pact. I mean, you get the writing, you get the fucking... The great library, you get the, what is it? Oh, fuck. The mechanic that lets you actually, sign defensive packs. You sign a defensive pack immediately, dude. You give him every technology he doesn't have with the strongest fucking people on the planet, and no one fucks with you. And then, you know, before you know it, you get a little further into it. So I never decide to go aggro on this because that's just fucking stupid. So the
maybe
other day
go wrong because I'm like fucking 20 years in. I'm like attacking.
Well, I mean, it's all situational. Like if you get propped up on a very small island and there's only one other civilization on it, like you have to wipe them out. Because if you don't, you're gonna, you know, be starved of resources.
Yeah. Or, you don't try to like overwhelm them culturally.
Well, you can't overwhelm them completely culturally. And on a small island, especially like on Deity, it's just way too hard. They're going to move so much at such a quicker rate than you are that, like, your best bet is just immediately start producing warriors, get there, and just kill them in, like, the first 10 turns. Because if you don't, like, come turn 12, they're coming at you with fucking horse archers and shit, and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm dead. So, but I'm like, I'm going to go all aggro on this, and decided, you know, I'm just going to fucking kill the first thing that comes near me. And I'm playing, I always hit random for everything, for the most part.
Yeah.
And I go ahead, and I hit random, and I get stuck on Pangaea.
I don't mind Pangaea. I'm not a big water guy in that game.
Oh, I love the water. I hate Pangaea because if I piss this person off, there's a better chance they're going to have friends. Where if you have the water across from you and say it's just you and like 3 other civilizations on a continent, it's not necessarily likely that they're going to get involved in it if you're friendly to the other ones. So I'm like, okay, this sucks. So, like, turn 3, I attacked fucking the, I believe it was, Justinian, the Byzantine Empire.
Yeah.
I attack them because they're, like, right next to me. I fucking just go right after them. Dude, immediately 9 fucking civilizations declare war on me.
Oh, no.
And I go, oh, fuck.
Clearly doing some diplomacy while you were building soldiers.
Dude, every other fucking civilization in the world declared war on me immediately. Like, it was like, as soon as I declared war on him, I was getting messages like, you know, hey, you know, the normal meeting messages where it's like, you know, do this, blah, 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 blah. You know, there will be peace in our time. You know, immediately I'd hit, there will be peace in our time. It's like, Abraham Lincoln declared war on you. Like, fuck. It's like, this is not good. Genghis Khan declared war on you. It's like, ah, I'm just dead. And I got housed so fast that it was unreal. I'm just like, how the fuck do you beat this going aggro at this level? So I gotta, that's my next chore, trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's it's a tough game, man. We'll have to talk more after the show on that or something.
Absolutely, dude. We should play together online one day. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I think the server still works. I'm not sure. I haven't played online in a while on that one.
I've never tried it online, so.
Yeah, I used to play all the time online, but once 5 came out, the games got harder and harder to get into.
Okay.
Because there just wasn't as many players because they was going to play 5. And yeah. I don't know if they shut the server down or not. After a while, they usually do. So it's probably shut down at this point. But you get 5, we'll play that for it. I do want to reiterate the whole Philadelphia thing. Guys, get to Philadelphia.
Yes, GP Philly.
We're going to play cards, man.
I've been, I don't know. I talked to Megan a little bit about it.
Tell Megan I said you have to come. She'll let you because I said so.
That might be true.
Yeah. Celso is going to be there. I mean, Kelso. I'm sorry. Why do I keep pronouncing that wrong?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Celso?
Yeah. Johnny Kelso. He's going to be there. So, I mean, like, he sent me a message today. Your ass better fucking be there. I just paid for a hotel room. I'm like, don't worry. I'll be there. You know, like, that's happening. I'm definitely going to be there. So yeah, I mean, aside from that, I've just been doing random shit and basketball team stuff. I had the buys and this was the last week of the season, so I sat my starters. I put kids out there on the court who couldn't even dribble yet. I mean, they're like 6 years old. They can't get the ball to the hoop. I'm like, you're starting today. Like, oh yeah. Played them for like 2 quarters because come playoff time, they're never going to play. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck it, go have fun. And we got house this weekend, but I didn't care. You know what I mean? I want these kids to get a chance to get into the game. And maybe over the summer, because they got that extra time in the game and they enjoyed it, maybe they'll work a little harder in the summer to get better at it instead of just being discouraged because they sit the bench all the time.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't locked.
Football, it's a little bit easier, like, because I got 11 men on the field, and frankly, there's a few spots, like
you can hide bad players, yeah.
Like the A gap on defense, I could stick two, you know, real underdeveloped kids in both A gaps and get
it. Yeah, just stand here. Someone goes through tackle. Okay.
I swim through on all fours and just take away the dive.
Yeah.
Actually, then they're actually not only they're contributing, but it gives kids the chance to get a sack or a tackle in the backfield that never would have had it had they been playing like D end or something.
Right.
So now and again, you'll get the guard pulling and that kid just has like a fucking straight hole to crawl through right to the quarterback. And it's always cool when those kids like jump up and get a sack and they've never even made a tackle in their life. It's always fun. So
yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, like it is a little easier to hide them. Like I coached baseball last year. I'm not doing that ever again, but you could just hide players in right field. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go to right field. Don't put them at shortstop and you should be all right.
Yeah. Go to right field. Actually, you know what? In the league I coached in, cause I was coaching with the real young ones. It was second base because the kids couldn't get the bat around most of them. So like second base was the most important part on the field. Your first baseman just needed to be able to catch a baseball. You know what I mean? It's like second base.
Your biggest, tallest kid at first.
Dude, I couldn't do that because the kid couldn't catch the ball.
Oh no.
Kept dropping the fucking thing everywhere. Like he would let it bounce off of his chest and then he'd reach down and grab it. It's like, you have a glove!
Well, I can't remember. It's either first or third you want a big boy at.
First is usually where you want your tallest guy, unless you have a lefty.
Okay.
Because, and at that level, it really doesn't matter. But the thing is with the lefty, on first base, just because of the way they naturally stand, they can see the batter on a pickoff play. Where a right-hander, because if they're, you know, looking to pick the guy off on first, they have their left hand forward, because that's where the glove is, guys, on a right-hander, facing the pitcher on the mound, their back is actually to the play.
Yeah.
So they have to turn around and, you know, set themselves. And sometimes, you know, first baseman can catch a line drive off the back of the fucking noggin if, they're not ready, if they don't move quick enough. So usually you don't want to go with right-handers over there. You want to try and get in the lefties when you get to the higher levels. But in the early levels, it's just a tall kid who can catch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a good time with the kids, you know.
Well, that's good, just, man. You're going into the playoffs, with your kids rested.
Yeah, dude, and I get a bye. So I got 2 weeks of rest, basically. And I got all kinds of extra practice because it's great. It's kind of funny, like, as, there was a snowstorm here today and the message comes over and it just goes to every coach. And my practice day is on Thursdays. And then the only other day that our league has practice days is Tuesdays. So half the teams do it on Tuesday, half the teams do it on Thursday. I get this message today. Gyms are closed because school was closed, no practice tonight. And these coaches are immediately going, are we going to get a makeup day? And he's like, nope, I can't get the gym any other day this week. So half the teams in the league aren't going to get this practice. And I'm still getting it, and I got to buy. So I get an extra practice over everybody else. So I'm actually pretty excited about that. I feel like I got fucking a little hand up on everything. Oh, and dude, that's for series, Underdog.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. There's a commercial right now if you watch the Olympics, right?
Okay.
Which me and the wife are actually joining a curling club because I got 4 years to make the Olympic team and they're bad. We founded a fucking curling club in Pittsburgh. We're going to actually go join up. But there's a commercial that keeps coming on and they play the theme song to Underdog.
I have not seen it.
I love it, dude. I mean, I don't know if you remember Underdog. You're a little younger than me, but not much younger than me.
I remember them, but that wasn't one I watched necessarily.
Oh, I don't know. And every time I hear that theme song, dude, I just get pumped.
That's one of the, that's a Hanna-Barbera, right?
Yeah, that's one of the old school.
Ah, dude, Hanna-Barbera's sick.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets to that part of the song, it's like speed of lightning, roar of thunder. I'm just like, yeah! And I don't know why. It's bringing something back from when I was a kid that shouldn't be brought back, probably.
That's funny. Hopefully not any terrible repressed memories about a preacher or anything.
No, not preacher memories. Yeah, see, dude, I left the church when I was like six. And then I tried going back a few times. But anyway, you got any shout-outs this week?
Shout-outs to the posse. We're almost to 100, guys. When we hit 100, we're going to give a random prize out. So tell your friends, whatever, get on there. Everyone's got an equal chance to win something sweet. And, so shout-out to the new guys on there. Everyone else has been keeping that page afloat. Tommy, I'll post the cruelty list later on just in case you miss it here. And yeah, shout out to the posse, shout out to Angelo, shout out to Will. As always, we missed you tonight, buddy, and hope everything's good.
Okay, I'm gonna give a shout out to Buttercup because, well, he's Buttercup. Actually, you know what, he's probably riding with me to Philly, so that there's a reason to give him a shout out. Shout out to the wife. She's been going through some issues lately, and you know, it was really getting into the point where, like, her issues were beginning to bring me down, without getting too
personal. You're talking about the unexpected,
medical issues.
No, I was talking about the unexpected, surprising pregnancy.
No. I'm actually talking about the medical issues. Okay. You know, they were unexpected and, you know, it's put a lot of strain on a relationship. And the other night, I mean, like, even though that she wasn't in, you feeling her absolute best, you know, out of nowhere, you know, and it's been a while. I'm not going to lie. You know, she made the point to, you know, make me feel like a man, if you know what I mean. You know, so, like, you know, I really appreciate that. Shout out to Lauren Williams, U.S. Olympic team. She's from the same hometown that Will lives in. Oh, and geez. She is pushing a bobsled right now. And I fell asleep earlier when I was watching it. But when I fell asleep, they were in gold medal contention after the first round. Like, they do, like, I think it's like three runs. And after the first run, they were in first place. And she pushed the shit out of that thing. She has a silver medal from the summer games. And you know what? Anytime a local person does that good, fuck yeah. That was kind of cool, you know. I'm sitting there, I have a vested interest because I don't know her, but I know some of her family. And living as close as we do, that's common, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, skating in Champaign's really big because of something Bonnie Blair did in the 80s. I don't even know who the fuck that is, but her name is like all over this fucking town.
Look it up. I'm sure you can find her at the intersection of Google and search, dude. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to the posse as always. Shout out to Calvin again. You know what? I enjoyed last week's episode. Guys, go listen to his podcast. I mean, he's not like us. His podcast is not like, you know, we're going to go over this and we're going to, I mean, it's a lot more off topic, shoot from the hip type deal, but he's fairly entertaining with it. I do enjoy listening to those two, especially because both of them are either new or coming back to the game.
Yeah, and Girl on Nerds is hot, so definitely worth listening to.
Yes.
ZeroFortitude.com is where you can find that. Also shout out to BrainstormBrewery.com for being such badass sponsors.
Oh, fuck, at the beginning of the show, I forgot to say that, huh?
Hey, I'm saying it now, BrainstormBrewery.com.
Yes, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery, Mr. Pittim's here. Oh, fuck, I can't
remember. Great, some good articles up on there this week. I was reading some good stuff, so.
Sweet, sweet. So yeah, that's gonna be my shout-outs. If you wanted to get a hold of me, you can find me at, pitimppodcast@gmail.com. That's a decent email place to find me. You can get a hold of me at, pitimpspodcast.com. That'd be the website. There's really nothing up there. You don't need to go look at it yet. I'll let you know when it's time. You can get a hold of me at Gongsuo on Twitter. That's GANGASUOU. You can get a hold of me at, same thing on MTGO. Also, I'm going to try and get an article up for Bro Deals this week. I missed my deadline last week because life.
Your last one had me laughing, man. I was going to ask if you, I think I got commented. I asked if you interviewed yourself for that.
No.
Because it was totally your style, man.
Dude, I had nothing to do with that. I was sitting down with the guy and he was what he was.
Must be a Pittsburgh thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just that type of dude. I don't know. Actually, you know what? That is one of the things I'm going to do with the with our website is I plan on extending his storyline.
Nice.
Every week. Like, I want to do an article of him every week just about his story. So it's going to be graphic. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to be politically correct at all. So, you know, if you see words in there you don't like, go fuck yourself. This is the character. And, you know, I'm not going to change a character to be PC. The character is the character. But yeah, I'm going to continue on with some more stories of Dave Planeswalker. Good old double penetration. DP.
Oh, man.
Where would people get a hold of you, Ryan, if they wanted to?
At Brother Yan on Twitter. Hit up the Brother Yan on the Facebook page, of course. Get at me. So, yeah, that's about it. Just hit me up. Guys, let me know what you think of Posse Cruelty if you got a second. And throw out some ideas. Let us know what you're brewing and playing as you go into FNMs and whatnot. So also, this upcoming weekend is SCG St. Louis. I believe I'm going to it. So if anyone else is, Kevin Schultz, I don't know where you've been, man. You've been like absent from the page. I don't know if you still listen or what, but I know you're in the Edwardsville area. If you're going there, let me know.
Yeah, he did kind of disappear off the page.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen him. So, but yeah, if anyone is coming through Illinois for that, please holler at me. Let me know. I don't know if you guys will hear this in time. I'll post something on the page about going. I might have already posted something up there about going, but it would be fun to, see any of y'all. So I know I missed out on the last SCG Open meeting you guys in Indy, so would have been nice to meet some people there. I will bring my phone charger this time.
So. I was going to say, make sure you go find him, because he isn't going to find you.
Yeah, I wore this shirt, though. So
even if he finds you, he's not going to find you. You're like, you know, you have to talk to him. Like, he was standing behind Harry, who he knows, and he just is like, I can't talk to him, man.
That's not true, man.
Bush Jean Bush.
I didn't want to bother Harry. He was at the top tables. Like, you know, he needed to focus. He was trying to take down an event. So I could have fanned. If it were like, you know, he was just playing for open points or something, I might have fucked with him. But you know what I mean?
Up and gave him a big fucking headlock in the middle of his game.
I don't know. I didn't want to throw him off or anything. But, yeah, no, holler. I mean, if you're going to SCG St. Louis, it's actually not in St. Louis. It's somewhere near there, but that's what they're calling it. So
that's what they always do, man. Like, I don't think I've ever been to an SCG Pittsburgh that was actually in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so.
Wait, nope. I haven't been. It was Airport, which is not Pittsburgh, and a couple other places. So like Ryan said there, we have next week we're going to go over SCG St. Louis. Hopefully we're going to get some spot on things. And we're going to go over Pro Tour Corvese, also known as Pro Tour Valencia, because I do believe that's this week.
Yes, hashtag PT Corvese. Ruck it.
Yeah, let's show some love to Mr. Harry Corvese. Hopefully he comes back with some great stories for us.
He better back with some great stories.
That would be absolutely awesome. But guys, until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, and go fuck yourself.